Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Exciting weekend ahead. Really is. Hour number two right here on Moneyline, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. If you want to get involved, 844-843-6879. There's something awesome about a Saturday in college football. We had one last week, but it was week zero, and the big games, or should I say, you know, power five type games, five, six, seven games last week, but the whole 12 o'clock wave, 1 o'clock's, 3 o'clock's, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock prime times, late night action. There's something majestical about that. And I love that it truly kicks off for me tomorrow, where when noon happens, TVs are lit up. You got 4 and 5 set up in your basement and, you know, mixing with computers and tablets. You got the whole gamut tomorrow, K-Dub.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's right out of the gate, early noon starts. We know that there. And again, the unique nature of college. I cannot get over, though, Donnie, that really I would say for a lot of people, the two biggest games on the slate, right? At least based on ranked situations, are a pair of games with 17-point spreads. like, man, last year they did this. And I do not remember the exact specifics, but it was too big. It was a boost. And it was one of two big favorites to basically lose their game. Like, it might have been like Alabama
to get beat by Miami. Like, come on.
I think it was like a week Bama played Ole Miss, and then you'd have to like look it up and figure out who Georgia happened to be going up against that week. But like, hey, I'm not going to ask you, would you bet that boost? Because again, I think you'd be, you know, leave that alone. But if I told you, now, one of those two teams is going to win. Would you believe it? I mean, it's like minus 350, the parlay on Georgia and Ohio State right now. Do you feel like one of those two teams could win?
Like to get upset? No, I really don't. I really don't think an upset's coming.
I don't think Notre Dame has any chance to win the football game. I don't think their offensive ceiling is anywhere near. Really, I don't think their offensive ceiling is even near Ohio State's offensive floor in the football game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think Ohio State's worst up against Notre Dame's best is a 28-24 final.
Yeah, like they're going toe-to-toe, score for score in the horseshoe with them. Like, no way.
And I still think they would lose the game. They obviously could cover. I don't know what it is. I think Oregon can really be in the mix in that game. I really do. Man, Bo Nix has been around for 100 years at this rate.
Scrambling, like just making plays off schedule.
Yeah, just like most nonsensical plays. Now, he'll throw you a couple, right? Like, I don't know what Bo Nix to throw a pick is, but you probably should take a look and circle that bad boy.
Trying to make a big play. Yeah, let me see what we got here. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Set this game up.
Because while you look for it, like, I'll Stenson Bennett having to go up against his old DC.
I love how you call him Stenson, though. I love it.
It's Stetson?
Yes, like the hat. Like the Stetson hat. Dog.
Yeah,
I love that.
Steve Bennett. I mean, what do you want me to? I'll punt the whole guy's name.
You had a good name, by the way. You did not to hijack this, but you had a real good name with Jerry Judah this morning. You called him like Judolph. It was fantastic.
No.
Yeah, because you were there was a word you were fitting in like right behind it, and you just combined them. And if you notice, when I smile, you could probably just roll it back when we were talking Denver Broncos, and you'll see it. But it was like I think it was Jerry Judolph. You called him, which was fantastic. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. That's but I know his name is Jerry Jeudy.
Yes.
That's why
I understand. But yeah, but you said the one was like playoff or something combined, like the two words, which you wouldn't even know you said it, like subliminally. Like you just rip that off and keep it moving. But I was like, yeah, it's a good one. Like I didn't want to interrupt at that time. I just thought it was pretty good that you hit him with a Stenson and a Judoff. It was great. It's a good time.
All right.
All right. Now back to your point. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. I do think Stenny Ben, though,
he's
going to find himself in a – I think
got some stuff here. Good.
I think it's a bad matchup. I don't think you want to be going up – like, he's plus 150 to throw a pick, Bennett, against Georgia. I just feel like Lanning's going to find a way to get to him.
By the way, lastly, we talked about it this morning. Just, you know, rolling over some things. We had Joe Lisi on yesterday previewing the card. And I was like, yeah, look at these two quarterbacks. Like, one's like plus 200, one's 11-1. Well, the 11-1 cash last night on scoring a touchdown, which is sensational. So the reason I bring this up is we know Bo Nix. And now, hold on. Like, because, again, I'm not in deeply bedded here with college football just yet.
Yeah.
Do we have a true starter? Like, do we know the starter?
Because
I'm trying to base my bet off your Oregon for a second. I say, you know what? I previewed the game, and they don't – oh, we're going to keep this close to the vest.
Yeah,
they haven't named the starter yet?
Let me just say this, okay? I do not think they have technically named a starter, but don't think for a second that the FanDuel Sportsbook or the DraftKings Sportsbook and everybody in between would willingly hang Bo Nix passing yardage props and be uncertain as to whether or not he was going to be the starting quarterback.
It's not a good thing,
because then people would bet the under. People aren't going to – somebody would find out.
But people like us last year waiting on the first game of the season, just betting a running back blind.
We sniffed it out, though. We sniffed it out.
People are going to blind it. Hey, some people are just at work like, hey, you know, man, Bo Nix big game tomorrow night returning back. Oh, wait, he's not playing? Yeah, good luck on that over.
I hear you. We sniffed it out, though. I think others would as well. Bo Nix is going to be the quarterback. So why? What is he to score a touchdown?
No, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to give that away yet, because that's where I'm going next. Because I'm going to talk to you about a philosophy of betting blind a certain way, and I want to see if it makes some sense to you here. So we got a long way to go here on Moneyline, dissecting that college football card for a Saturday. It's a Friday. It's a holiday Friday. It's a football Friday. Right here on Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh, a little Billie Jean to start hour number two here. Rolling through this two-hour show, which is called Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. On a Friday, as I said, but talking about betting and betting strategy, he asked the question, wonder what Bo Nix would be any time touchdown score here on a Saturday game, figuring that he does start. Plus 460 price? That's kind of juicy right here. Running quarterback?
That's Bo Nix's price?
Bo Nix's price is plus 460 to score a touchdown. Stetson Bennett, plus 490. Now, before we get a breakdown or what your thoughts would be, the strategy here, these are big numbers for college quarterbacks who tend to run and score more than NFL quarterbacks outside of, obviously, your most mobile guys. Like, Lamar Jackson isn't lining up at a plus 460 anytime touchdown in the NFL. But can you get away with, and I know it's a losing proposition long term. It really is. But can you just get on a hot streak? Like when I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to start nailing these home run props. And whoa, I'm like, I'm going 40%, which is ridiculous. But these are big numbers. You're like, again, 11-1 cash on a running quarterback last night. Mm-hmm. You put $100 down, you won over a grand back on that. Bo Nix plus 460, Stetson Bennett plus 490. Is it worth just to throw a flyer on both of those guys?
You know, this is more your lane. Like, I know you're setting it up, right? So naturally, you'll ask me. But this is something that you have thought about a while as it relates to the NFL, I know.
Yeah.
So if you believe that, man, I don't know. But doesn't it, you really think Bennett gets, like, how many rushing touchdowns did Bennett provide last year?
I don't know. Let's see, my guy, Stetson Bennett stats.
He's not a mobile guy, but
Daniels
isn't either, right? It was a quarterback sneak, right, that saw him into the end zone?
Yeah. Let me see. So, see, best stats. Let's see if it gives his rushing stats here. Passing touchdown, rush one time, Kevin. So shouldn't that be closer to 10-1 then if the guy's one rushing touchdown?
Probably. Like, I'll give you – it's not a perfect example because I know we're talking quarterbacks, but Tavion Thompson is minus 260 in the anytime touchdown score market on FanDuel. Over a half rush touchdown, which is how it's listed on DraftKings, Donnie, is minus 160.
Well, who's that guy even play for?
Utah's lead running back. Okay. He's a returner from last year, 20-plus touchdowns. Hey, look, I know we're early, but I thought maybe you know Tavion. But fair enough. No, it's a good point. Plenty of people probably don't. That's Utah's star running back. But, Donnie, right, if he's minus 160 for a rushing touchdown, minus 260 anytime touchdown, what's the thought? Oh, he probably could catch a touchdown, right? Right? I went and looked at my man's box score. He had two catches last year.
Yeah.
Not touchdowns.
Yeah.
Just catches. Just two passes caught on the entire season. Zero catching touchdowns. Like, that's a terrible bet to go minus 260 anytime touchdown. If he catches a touchdown, it should be like 50-1 at this rate here.
Give me true numbers here.
Correct.
By the way, nice name in this game, too. And again, it's going deep on these, even though they're power teams, I don't know the names. Obviously, Brock Bowers, I know. Great tight end here for the Georgia Bulldogs. Sean Dollars. Plus 300 to score a touchdown. This doesn't feel like a principal play. Like, this guy's name is Sean Dollars. Who does he even play for? Like, I'm not looking at my magazine even.
Yeah.
Who he play for? Like, I'm going to go with that name. He's got to be a Georgia Bulldog, doesn't he? Like, I don't even know. It just feels like it. I feel like an Oregon Duck.
I don't know. It is an Oregon Duck, man.
Oh man, see that?
It is.
Throwing me way off here.
Yeah. Now, man, his shoot name is Sean Dollars, man. Year three.
Just throwing up a dollar sign, scoring a touchdown. I mean, there's a lot of endless ways that you can get after that.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. If he leads, Donnie, he leads them to an upset, he will have more NIL dollars than he knows what to do with, man. What a marketing genius this guy could turn into. Wow.
Now, also, we know, like, Stetson Bennett isn't going to put up, like, 5,000 passing yards. He's more of, look, last year, it's a great football team. Don't crash it. And he did well because he won a national championship. Did exactly what he wanted to. His total passing number in this game is 237.5. Bo Nix is 184, which he's getting put in, like, the NFL, like, Justin Fields category. Where college under 200 yards? Like, you're supposed to be losing this game by three touchdowns, which you know where that leads us to believe. Not Bo Nix heading to the bench. Bo Nix throwing it all over the place in the second half because you're not committed to the running game at that point.
Yeah, is the idea that that they're just not going to throw the football? Or maybe you and I are talking a little too optimistically here on Oregon, and that's the numbers are reflecting a 17.5 point dog. I mean, Donnie, let's be realistic here, right? Georgia led in every football game they played last season by a good amount. Outside of, you know, the Alabama games, it's not unreasonable. Like, it's not like guys were thrown for 300 every game.
Yeah.
Like, they were holding teams to a buck 100, 180 passing yards. But this is not last year's defense, which is not slander. Of course it's not.
Yeah.
You've been watching college football a long time. That is safely inside one of the five best defenses you've ever seen, last year's Georgia group.
Very good.
Come on now. It's a hard thing to replicate.
So let's say we say that game. That's tomorrow night, right? Now, we talk about betting in waves, too. Like, even back running services for quite a few years, you always like that nice balance. Like, give me a game or two at 12. Give me a game or two at 3. You know, keep the people involved all day, but also have that balance. Tomorrow's first set of games, and we're not talking about, again, the off-schedule games, Northern Iowa, Air Force, Sacred Heart, Lafayette. Forget those. You're talking about, looks like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five legitimate games here to kick off the day. Buffalo, Maryland, Colorado State, Michigan, North Carolina, Appalachian State, Rutgers, BC, NC State, East Carolina. Now, also, looking at those games, sticks out like a sore thumb here. 177, 178, North Carolina and App State. playing at the Rock, Boone, North Carolina. Both of these teams from Carolina. It's hard to get to App State, but it almost seems like a trap gets set when you go there. And the reason I say that is this line is roughly a pick 'em to 1.5 across the board where you're shopping at. Like, App State is a good program overall, but North Carolina did play last week. Did App State play last week?
Because no.
Obviously they weren't playing another power foot. So there you go. You already had a team in North Carolina. I don't want to say get off the schneid with that game where we didn't even know if there was going to be a game, but they played, they scored points, dress rehearsal done. Hey, looking at this game here, but if we're looking at just lines, as we did with ODU, boy, that tells you App State. Like, App State's favorite at most sports books right now. That's pretty incredible to me. I love that.
Little piece of notes, though, okay? Because this is something that I think at times people – rest versus rust, right? DRS, I think, is something that people can consider opinion-based. But as far as the week zero versus week one thing, it is fact-based. The team that did not play in week zero covers about 55% of the time. So I'm not telling you that you want to go out there and bet every single team that is playing their first game of the season blind. Mm-hmm. You can. History says you would eke out a profit. But what you cannot do this week is tell somebody you like UNC because they have a game under their belt.
I like that.
You can't say you like Utah State because they have a game under their belt. History says that does not help. It is a factually incorrect statement to say that.
So it is. So no playing it out, but App State, they're going to be coming in with some guns here. Like, you're talking about 56.5 at a game that's roughly a pick 'em. We're expecting both of these teams to score points, and rightfully so. Carolina could probably score, but their defense wasn't all that impressive against a MEAC team last week. Stepping up to the Rock, having some fun. Also, we'll get into the rest of this card because there are some games that are quite fun to take a look at. It's Moneyline on a Friday afternoon, getting you ready for your college football weekend. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome home is right. Welcome home to Moneyline here. Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon on a Friday holiday, Football Friday. Telephone lines 844-843-6879. Now, I'm going to ask you this question because we're going to go over some of the big games here on Saturday. And I'm excited for them. It should be a great, great weekend of college football. But have you focused on any of your eyes on the smaller games? And I'm not talking smaller games being like, Tulsa, Wyoming, per se. I'm talking about line games like Delaware Navy, Dayton Robert Morris, Sacred Heart Lafayette. Because back in the day for me, and I say back in the day is only 10 years, like MAC games were those games. Ooh, that's a small game. Now you have ridiculous lines all over the place. And the one correlation, I should say non-correlation, is the NFL hard and fast market here. Like, you know the teams. Everybody's betting those teams. There's not much of a margin for error. Like, oh, that line moved a half of a point. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. But I got to imagine, like, if you're in on Dayton Robert Morris, like, you can get some sneaky info on that and be like, I love this game. Do you guys hit those on your college football show? Or, like, what is the style for that? Like, hey, I got a best bet today, which they're line games, Central Connecticut over Connecticut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's one of those markets where if we're going to hit it, I'll be honest with you, it's going to come from Joe Lisi, who, again, is just a wealth of college football information at really any level and any team you look forward to. But part of the reality is, look, of course, people tune in, Donnie, and if you give them what, you know, you, hey, this is a surefire winner in South Alabama Nichols. I promise you, right? All right, maybe they'll ride with you. But what do people want to hear about? Hey, what do you like in the UTSA Houston game? What do you, you know, hey, what do you like in Georgia Oregon, right? Even correct. If it's like, hey, what do you think about USC in their game against Rice, right? Like, they want to hear about, and you know this too, I'm obviously doing all the content you do.
Sure.
3 hours is not as much time as you would think.
No.
For, you know, for a three-man setup there, all of us, you know, with research notes, opinions, and thoughts, it goes by a lot quicker than you would anticipate. So, simply, no, I do not think you'll be getting Georgia Southern Morgan State breakdowns from us. But I'll tell you what, shoot us a tweet if you really want it, and maybe we can put some additional research in and maybe send you something out on Twitter.
Yeah, a little Middle Tennessee State, James Madison action in that one. Where JMU favored by 5.5 over MTSU. Boy, I've bet a lot of Middle Tennessee State football over the years. My goodness.
Do you miss it? Like grinding low-level college for your ass?
I loved it. I thought it was great because you would very rarely, even with like service plays, like I wasn't the guy that was betting Ohio State Notre Dame. Like our card was littered with Sun Belt action, you know, Conference USA, you know, big game, best game of the day. Ohio Bobcats are going to take down, you know, Toledo, where there's going to be a team total. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I live. Like I was watching ESPN Plus and had like the big games on in the background, like on the TVs, but I was just sitting there, you know, holding my breath on, you know, 42-yard missed field goals, which would drive you crazy in college football. And the pro 42-yard, it's good. Don't watch it. You're like, oh, I need this for like a team total win. Holy mackerel.
Central Michigan last night, so I had the over 17.5. I know it finished with 44, but it's early in the game, right? You never know how many chances a team like that is going to get.
True.
So it's 4th and 3, and instead of going for the 3 yards, they kick a 50-yard field goal. Now, if you're going to kick that field goal, right? You know, the thought process is you better make it. But more than anything, what cannot happen is at no point does the ball straighten out and give you a chance.
Yeah.
The thing started left and only kept going left. And it was just like, come on now. Last year's leading rusher in all of college football, you need 3 yards. And we sent this kid out there to kick for 50. Well, what are we doing here, Central Michigan? I was livid last night watching that come across the table.
Yeah, just tell them, like, your fan, hey, tune into the game. I'm not going to get a chance to kick tonight, Dad. It's going to be interesting to watch. Now, moving on to the later games on Saturday. The first one that sticks off, 7 o'clock, 165-166 rotation, Utah and Florida. This line opened up as a favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook towards the Utes and has continued to do that. -2.5, -120, I'm seeing here at FanDuel. Threes at every other sportsbook, a total of 51.5. Most people would say to themselves, what is this, crazy? Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, isn't Florida just rinse and repeat at home, should smash anybody outside of the SEC? But that's not the case here. Utah's coming in deep. Utah's coming in talented. Utah's coming in figuring they can beat this team. And Utah's coming in favored to beat this team.
Yeah, they certainly are. The Utes, though, are not just favored to beat Florida, but they're a favorite of some people to make the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Now, you can still get a nice price on that, but there's people who think that this team will beat Florida, at worst lose a game during their Pac-12 schedule, and win a Pac-12 championship. And that's what it's going to take, right? That's what it's going to take to go out there ultimately and get the job done. But I got to tell you, you know, what is the – I'm just curious there. Like, what is a Utah to make the national champion, the playoff, or even to win the title, whatever it might be? Because, Donnie, here's the thing. It's 65-1, just to use that base number right now, to win the title.
Yep.
If they lose to Florida, they have no chance to make the college football playoff. Zero chance. Because that if they lose to Florida, that means they're not as good as you thought they were. And I just they're going to have to then run the Pac-12 table plus win the Pac-12 championship. It won't happen. It's a legitimate must-win there for Utah right out of the starting gates.
Yeah, I think they end up winning that game. I do. But as an annual rite of passage for me, Kevin, is I do root for the Pac-12 to lose games. Not root for them to win and be good. I want everybody to have 5 losses. So I never want them to show up. Just give it to a couple SEC teams. Keep it with Clemson and, you know, mix in maybe a Big 12 team that's got a tasty offense, per se, that we can have some fun watching. Now, that game is 51.5. We'll see if it comes through. A couple games here in the 7 o'clock range, like UMass Tulane. I mean, come on now. Like, Tulane is -28.5 over UMass. Sometimes it's time to look at thinking about dropping football. Like, how did UConn and UMass wind up in Division I and just get absolutely smoked, it seems like, every single week? But here they are trying to cash in on that money, as we say. Wisconsin just opened up with a line here through DraftKings, Kevin, -33.5 over Illinois State. So a lot of smaller games mixed in. But a 7:30 kickoff, Ohio State, Notre Dame, live from the Horseshoe, rotation 171, 172, 17 and a half, 17s all the way across the board from what I'm looking at here. Over under in this game, 59 and a half and 60s sometimes showing up. Looks like DraftKings got 60, and I want to say FanDuel on my odds board, showing 59 and a half. And we talked about it this morning. I took 9.5 earlier in this week as a first half play for Ohio State, jumped to 10 and a half. I don't have the odds up currently now, but I do assume it's probably just the same. And I'm just going to keep it simple. Like, what are we expecting out of this game overall? Does Ohio State need to pace Notre Dame by 3 touchdowns? Do they just have to look good on offense? If Notre Dame hangs around, is that good for them? Like, is this could be a, realistically, 35-3 at some point? Could it be?
That's a lot.
I mean, that's exactly. They're still a top 10 team. It's like when we talk about the Little League World Series. Hey, I mean, yeah. They're two good teams, but you could still end up with a butt kicking at that point, but it looks too easy for Ohio State to come out as if Notre Dame doesn't have any talent, but you realize they're actually a top 10 football team.
Yeah, again, 35-3, and I know you're exaggerating, obviously, to prove the point there. That's a lot. With that being said, I actually do not think, outside of C.J. Stroud looking horrific and that being the entire reason the game is close, I don't think Ohio State can leave this game and the narrative be, they stink. Let's just say down to this final score is 28-24, right?
Yeah.
3 passing touchdowns still for Stroud, and they win the game, and it's close. I think the narrative is going to be, man, that Notre Dame team is legit. We'll be seeing a lot of this team. They might make the college football playoff. They just got to run the table from here on out. Look at how good that team is, right? I think if Ohio State runs them, then it's about how great Ohio State is. I don't think we leave this game and the conversation is, unless Notre Dame wins, of course, which then changes the math on, that's plus 570. Unless they win, I do not think this is going to pivot to, oh man, the Buckeyes are not as good as we thought. I just don't think that is the conversation transition we hit.
Is there a chance, though, that we're looking at Ohio State maybe overhyping them just a little bit? Because, again, you know the quarterback is very good. The tailback is very good. The wide receiver, who wasn't the main target last year, but absolutely went ballistic in the Rose Bowl, almost that Jadeveon Clowney effect when he made that big play against Michigan. He still had to come back for another year, and we thought he would get a sack every time the ball was snapped and end up with like 55 of them for the year. But we know that's not the case. Is there a chance that you're coming out, as we said, like, oh, look at this, like Notre Dame 10-7 at the half? Like, what is the deal with Ohio State? Is there a chance at that where you say, boy, we really misread Ohio State?
Yeah, but for me, again, I'm not trying to give Notre Dame too much. I don't think Notre Dame is being given a lot of respect going into this game.
They're not.
I don't know.
No, they're not.
So, again, if Notre Dame, Donnie, if it's 10-7, now, I'm not. There's no guarantee that this is how the conversation will go, but I would hope the conversation is, man, let's give Marcus Freeman his credit. Let's give this Notre Dame football team their credit. This is a good group. This is going to be a group that, again, is going to be frisky all year long, and we're going to have to respect what they're bringing to the table here ultimately, because that's what I believe. I believe that Notre Dame has it now, but it's relative. Like, I think Notre Dame's defense can go out there and be proud of a performance and give up 31 points. Like, that is how high-powered we view Ohio State. So yes. I'll tell you this right now. They hold that team to 21 or under. Notre Dame is going to be power rated way differently moving forward, because that means they probably have one of the better defenses in the country.
Yeah, just reload. That's usually what we anticipate from Ohio State. And again, I talked about it earlier on the early line. These coaches, they know their quarterbacks really want to win the Heisman. They're going to let them let it rip the entire football game. So they'll stay in it all the way to the end. Ohio State isn't taking their starters out midway through the third quarter, only up 21 points. They're going to hit the gas pedal. A lot more to go here. College football weekend right here on Moneyline. We're setting you up for a weekend of action. So come on back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twenty on the gun here before we set you free into your weekend plans for fun. We're going to get to the phone lines right now, 844-843-6879. It's Moose. He's live. It's Friday. You know the cookout's going to be wrapping up. The smoker's fired up. Big weekend ahead. What's good, Moose?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, both you guys like corn on the cob, right?
Yes.
It's an American staple.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. So, here's a recipe for you. So, it's called cooler corn. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but you take your corn, you clean it, obviously, you put it inside a cooler, okay, a clean cooler. Take the beer out first, you know what I'm saying. And you pour boiling water, you pour boiling water over the corn, and you close the lid, and it steams itself. So if you're cooking for a lot of people, you can go online and just Google cooler corn, and it will tell you step by step. And then that way, you know, you get 20 or 30 people over for a cookout. Everybody can help themselves while you're tending to the grill. So... Mm. And I absolutely, absolutely love that idea of the smaller market football games, you know, and that would be interesting that on maybe on somebody's show that they would maybe feature a game of the week from a lesser known college, because I'm thinking, wouldn't all the sports books be concentrating on all the major schools, so they may miss something on one of these smaller schools, you know, that would be interesting. And the last thing I'm going to say, I'm kind of excited about this Donovan Mitchell trade to the Cavs. But the big thing with that Notre Dame game, and I got a prop bet for you, too. The main thing with that Notre Dame game that people aren't bringing up is that they're going to be probably playing in front of about 105,000 fans in the Shoe. And it's an evening game. So you kind of have to put that in perspective. I'll close it out with a prop bet. And it's going to be a Notre Dame prop bet. Their tight end, 65.5 yards. Take the over.
It's a good one.
Mm, Mayor
right there. Look at that. The Mayor. Calling it on a Friday. Heating it up over here. Any thoughts on what he had to say there, K-Dub? Little Joe Lisi maybe action. Hey, Joe, pick out one of these lower-level games you got that extra advantage on. Because we'll tell you the running backs, tight ends, and offensive linemen when we have no idea who half these players are.
No, we will. And by the way, we're not exclusively going to be getting you, you know, it's only like it's Ohio State and Notre Dame for, you know, the whole show, right? Coastal Army, we'll get to.
Yep.
You know, that USF-BYU game, I know, will feature mention as well. I think we might carve out some time for the MAC, which I know Moose is a big fan of as well. So, look, it's Ohio State and Notre Dame's most important game. But we got you covered. We got 3 hours. We got you covered. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, looking forward to it, too. Now, also, let's talk about that Notre Dame-Ohio State game a little bit deeper. As we, you know, most of the time you see the any touchdown market and you say to yourself in the NFL, like, ooh, man, minus 140, that's tough here. But you're actually getting a Jonathan Taylor type or, you know, another big-time weapon. They say, well, that guy scores every single week, Derrick Henry style. Jackson Smith and Jigba, minus 320 to score a touchdown.
Nah, can't be.
Travion Henderson. Minus 310 to score a touchdown.
Come on, man.
Like, what is that if you parlay those two guys together? It's plus 104, and they both need the score, which is incredible to say that. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr., if you remember last year, when you saw, you know, two players sit it out who were legitimate superstars at wide receiver for Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr. stepped up, and we know Smith and Jigba stepped up here. He's plus 105, which isn't any, you know, stupendous thing you can get. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting any of that. Like, even like Ohio State's defense to score a touchdown is a plus 270.
What?
See what I mean? Yes. That's the response I wanted out of that.
Oh. Now that's... See, now you just opened my mind, and I know you want to talk Ohio State and Notre Dame, so I'm just going to make this point. We'll move off of it. But I just want to... If they hang the Bama defense / special teams anytime touchdown, you're going to have to take a look, right? Against Utah State, you're going to have to take a look. So,
do they have that? Well, they probably don't have that. They're going to have big-time props for that game? Yeah, didn't figure.
Just monstrous juice scared all over death. The map. Yeah, you will not be getting what you're looking for there. But, man, these are obviously some monstrous numbers on these guys. Now, are they offering, like, the half a rushing touchdown stuff, though? Man, so they're treating this game. It looks like an NFL prop board, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like the way it's so, man, Jackson Smith and Jigba, man, the 110.5 yardage is, man, total reception, 7.5, man. Wow.
Goodness. I mean, that is kind of just, yeah, that's just kind of wild. Like, I know, like, if you had your druthers and they just said, hey, look, no juice on this. Mm-hmm. Smith and Jigba score a touchdown. Like, of course he does, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see the number, it's like, well, I don't know about that now. It's because the market dictates your response. Because if I were to tell you, like, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. plus 700 to score a touchdown, like, man, sign me up. That's like the greatest bet I've ever seen in my life. But you sort of temper your expectations when it's plus 105. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe there's better ways that we can spend our money. Now, how about this? You're not like, I'm going to read you these stats, which might be even a better way to take your shot. Like, if you think some of these wide receivers and quarterbacks are going to go off to score 3+ touchdowns in this game. So the two guys that you would be looking at, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba and Travion Henderson, plus 750 and 8-1. 3 touchdowns. 3!
Yeah, it's a lot of touchdowns. Can I? So now they got over under pass attempts here. I'm never going to sleep at this rate if I try and cap all these props.
It's good.
But CJ, Don, so just let me see what your reaction is on the surface. CJ Stroud, 41.5 pass attempts. What's your reaction when you see that?
CJ Stroud, 41.5. I got to go under. Is he just throwing wild in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I got to go under.
So last year they lost twice against Oregon and Michigan. He threw 54 times against Oregon, 49 against Michigan. But we're expecting them to win this game, right? So let's remove those. In the bowl game against Utah, I threw 46 times. 573 yards on 46 attempts.
Yeah.
Outside of that, Donnie, only once did he throw the ball 40 times. 2 losses and the bowl game where they basically they did whatever they wanted, right?
Yeah.
Only once, DRS, did they go out there and see CJ Stroud throw 40+ times. That is a full 10-game sample size where it was 9-1 to the under. And hey, if you want to capture the entire season overall, 8-4 to the under of 41.5 pass attempts there for CJ Stroud. Now, I'm betting under in this football game. I already put that in. It's under 60. Okay. I'm going to regret this. I've bet 2 under so far this college football season. They've both lost.
Yes.
At some point, I'm going to abandon ship, but it is what it is. But I don't need another piece of, like, less CJ Stroud. But if he throws the ball 45 times, something went wrong, right?
Yes. That means they're in a legitimate shootout with Notre Dame. And also, you have to keep in mind, like, you saw a game last night, O'Connell for Purdue, right? He threw a lot of times. Well, obviously, they were in a close game and a high-scoring game, but their offense is dictated on, all right, if you're going to give us 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, I'll throw 7-yard outs and, you know, dump off passes to my running back and throw a million times because it takes us, Kevin, 10 plays to move down the football field. You're talking about Ohio State with one of the best quarterbacks in the country and elite weaponry every single year. The reason I bring that up is 3 plays, 78 yards. 62-yard touchdown pass. It does. They're not dinking and dunking down the field against Notre Dame, and that's the problem. Like, you could have a quarterback in C.J. Stroud throw for 400 yards, Kevin, and throw the ball 28 total times.
Yep, 100%. What? Yeah. Which, by the way, you know, for example, against Indiana last year, Donnie, they scored 54 points.
Mm-hmm.
He threw the ball 28 times.
Yes.
Ooh, 4 passing touchdowns. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. I gave you one where you were right on the money. Now, what about his 3.5 passing touchdowns? Do you lean over that number?
Here's the reason.
I would have bet under, but I cannot get over.
I'm telling you right now, like, all season, like, football teams in college football at that level, they are marketing machines. They know it's going to be head-to-head Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud all season long. And if you can give your guy an advantage, you are teeing him up to get after it. Number one, it's great for the fan base. It's great for the player. It's great for the university. It's great for recruiting to say, hey, you can come here and sling it around. I'll let you throw 50 touchdown passes in a season. You want records? You throw 6 in a game, and you'll be sitting there at a downtown athletic club in New York City as a top 5 in the voting every single year to be, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner. There's no way in this game. Like, it's more likely to me he throws six touchdown passes than two. Than two.
Okay. Then you know what the greatest bet of all time has to be?
What?
Marvin Harrison Jr. to score a touchdown at plus.
He's got to. Yeah, he has to.
Do you know how many he
but he still has to. Yeah, they went nuts, those two guys. It's like, how many wide receivers do you got? Yeah.
But he caught three as well.
Yes.
Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, and again,
like, barely even factored into the regular season. He gets to the Rose Bowl and it's like, oh, they got another first round draft pick ready to go.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That's just, to me, one of those spots where the numbers don't correlate. He doesn't. Oh, man, by the way, 7.5 catches is a ton, dude, for a receiver.
Like, he could be 5 for 145 and 3 touchdowns. Like, that's really the way it could come out. Like, he had a monster game. The guy only didn't have enough catches. How many catches do you need when you're probably getting targeted deep 4 to 5 times in this game?
Like, you know, I like I said, I've bet the under in this game. It's in. I live with it. But you look at these props and what they suggest. I mean, they got Ohio State scoring about 50 here on Notre Dame, man. I mean, really. I'm serious. Like, Trevion Henderson, Donnie, is going to run one in. Basically, already starts the game with a rushing touchdown.
Yes, correct.
Right? Yeah. And C.J. Stroud is throwing for 3. Again, that's like a floor.
Yeah.
It's just, my goodness. A couple field goals here and there. Like, the absolute worst they could do is like 34 points, according to the book. Like, that's the worst.
And I know you can't just pick who's going to score touchdowns. But you know these are big-time players, and they're playing. He's got to be running one in, talking about the running back, Trevion. You've got to have, you know, your wide receivers get – like, I figure it's going to be – again, that's what I'm saying. He's closer to 6 touchdown passes than 2 because I just think he spreads it around. And then we could be watching this game and go, hey, Kevin, he didn't even have a touchdown pass in the first half.
Well,
what's going on out here? Like, the tweets are flying.
Joy.
Exactly.
That'd be a great
Notre Dame hired the right guy. Now, I was always under the impression that, depending on this final score, we'll know if Notre Dame made the right move at coach at this point here, based on
it's whether or not
on the road at Ohio State.
Come on.
Yeah, he covers. Be nice. Now, also, you're right. The fuel's in. Like, they know the number in the Notre Dame locker room. So if you're a gambler betting Notre Dame, it's very comforting.
Yeah. Well, I was getting quickly before we hit this break here, right? he's pushing all systems go down 24, 2 minute with 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
What are they launching an investigation, or they go, that's a good head coach?
Exactly. That's why Steve Spurrier was so beloved at the schools he went to, because he actually knew what the boosters wanted and tried to take care of them. There was one game where they played North Carolina, and I had so much respect for what Spurrier did at the end of the game, even though it basically made no sense. And I'll tell you more. We got a short segment here, but it's enough for a good old Steve Spurrier story, and also give away some picks as we head off into the weekend, finishing up in style right here on Moneyline. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the week here. It's time for picks and fun, but a quick Steve Spurrier story, which I said he likes to take care of his alumni. I remember watching a game, and I have the scores up, so I don't remember exactly which game it was, but I'm going to assume it was probably the 2015 game. South Carolina 17, North Carolina 14. And let's just say the line in that game was 5, and he knew that. I think they lined up, Kevin, with, like, I don't know, 50, like late in the game, he put his kicker out there for like a 54-yarder when the smart play would have just been like pooch punt it and win the game. And this kicker ended up missing the kick. Now, they won the game. I can't preface by saying I know the exact game it was, but I know it was North Carolina. I'm just looking at the scores. I know it wasn't back in like 07, but they played in 15, 19, and 21. And the close game was South Carolina won 17-13. I want to say it was that game where everybody was mystified. Like, this doesn't make much sense for like a career long field goal, but we all had that wry smile. Like, we know why this field goal is about to be trying, because it's very important for a certain final score. So Steve Sperry will take care of you. Having said that, it's time for picks. Let's take care of the people today. Three spot for me, or three pack, I should say, Baltimore. I said on the show this morning, I'm going to go run line first five innings, but the price isn't that bad for a money line. It's a little expensive at a minus 158, but I'm going to go Baltimore first five innings over Oakland. Also, I'm going to go with the New York Mets team total over 4.5 at a minus 124, and then an under late night, Philadelphia and San Francisco. I'm taking an under 8 at a minus 118, K-Dub. Where are you going? College football? What else you got?
Yeah, so look, as far as tonight's games go, I have not pressed click down just yet, but I am looking a lot at Chase Brown. For those that were riding in week zero, this guy made light work of a rushing prop that was 100.5. He hit it at the break, so that's what we're looking at. But I will give you people's little sneak peek, okay? Again, football today, show up in droves. We'd love to have you. Cannot wait. We've already got three plays locked in for tomorrow. Caleb Williams, rush yards over 28.5. Notre Dame, Ohio State under 60. Oregon plus 17. Let's get after it.
There we go. A weekend on deck here. Thanks for tuning in all week long. Good news is going to have to wait. We're out of time. Oh, no. See you next week. Oh, that's good.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.